43.
Right.
Well, thanks to the good members here, I feel like my son did a while back when he got up. We had singing night on Wednesday. He got up late singing. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, these two burritos are just way me. They've been the Mexican food restaurant. I just got done eating a lot more than I should have. I even had burgoo. I'm not a burgoo fan, but I am a fan of the ladies that took us to eat it. Thank you. Appreciate those who took us out last night. Had an enjoyable night at Cracker Barrel. Look forward to another good night tomorrow night. Gives me an excuse to go back 5 pounds heavier than when I came. Good to have visitors. Some folks I hadn't seen. Good to have you with us. We are continuing a series, as you can see here, the Apostle Peter, writing concerning the Apostle Paul, says, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Here's an important part. Which untaught and unstable people twist for their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. This week we've been talking about some things that are hard to understand. We've talked about several things. The young lady that visited with the sisters that came from Pilot Oak, where I am privileged to preach and sat up here last night. The one girl that came had never, I don't know if she'd ever attended the Lord's church much at all. But when I got done with the sermon last night, of course, you know what the material was. I came over and I said, well, it's good to have you. I said, is this new to you? And if you look up, she said, yeah. And you know it is a lot of times when people go to the Bible and they hear things for the first time. She was thrilled to death. Said she was happy going home and glad to do it. Hopefully she'll come back and be with us again. I want to look at some things that are hard to understand about Christian growth with you tonight. I've got written up here, understand that if you have been a member of the church for a couple of years or more and cannot explain to somebody the one church, the plan of salvation, our worship, the work of the church with Scripture, you need to rethink your study program. We're going to talk about that tonight. You may notice that's kind of a theme this week, is encouraging the church to be the church. Amen? Encouraging us to be the church. Encouraging us to be the church that the church was in the early 1900s. Did you realize that in the early 1900s it was nothing for us to go in and hold debates and actually take entire denominational buildings because so many members of that particular local denomination would obey the truth, that they would just flip the building? It happened. And you know what? I am a firm believer we can do the exact same thing today. And we have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe in ourselves as a church. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Tells us to be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks us a reason for the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. But I want you to turn to 1 Peter 3:15 with me. This will also be the text that we end with. I'm sorry, yes, 1 Peter 3:15. Somewhere in the New Testament. There we go. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I just read that part about sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, this is New King James, a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And we stop there. Really, truly, how many of you knew the next verse? A lot of us know that verse, right? We know 1 Peter 3, verse 15. How many of us knew the next verse? Watch this. Here's the reason. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, may be ashamed, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. People don't like it many times when you're set for the defense of the gospel. They already have their idea of what the truth is and is not, and what you're just supposed to accept as truth. How many times have you studied with somebody, they say, well, I know it says, I don't necessarily know where it is in there, but I know it's in there. Oh my. And you're thinking to yourself, what? Partner, I'm telling you, I don't even hurt your feelings. You don't say it. It ain't in there. And you're trying to work with this person. But the part that we need to understand is that it says, when they defame you. Look, you remember what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians? He asked the Galatians a question. And I think it's a good question. Brandon, you could ask the same question, possibly. I've been privileged to see some of your sermons. Good job. And you could ask the same question. And Paul said simply this: do you hate me because I tell you the truth? You know, we're all about truth. Everybody, I want the truth and I want it straight. How many times have you talked to a denominationalist? I can remember my wife's daddy. And Papa, as the boys called him, and all the kids called him, Larry, my father-in-law, I'd try and talk to him about the Bible, and he'd say, look, our preacher, you know what's coming, right? He'd go like this right here, he'd say, preaches it right from that Bible. And I'd simply ask him, Larry, where in the world do you get something like the sinner's prayer? Always from the Bible, way away from the Bible. And what we need to understand is, when you're prepared, it doesn't always go the way you plan. But when you're not prepared, I can about tell you how it's going to go. Look at the next one. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Folks, we have to be able to strike, I've got here, when the iron is hot. Of course, you had the people on the day of Pentecost. Peter's just finished preaching a sermon from the Old Testament. I think it's something like 14 verses in his sermon. Almost half his sermon was from the Old Testament. And he brought it over and he told the Jews, he ends up in verse 36 saying, what I'm trying to get across to you is the Messiah you've been looking for 1,500 years is the one you just got done hanging on the cross. And their response, of course, was what? What shall we do? Yeah, what shall we do? We're familiar with this, aren't we? And we're familiar with Acts 2:38. We're not familiar with anything else. We're familiar with that. The kids have probably had to memorize it. Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission or forgiveness of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, promises unto you and your children. We know Acts 2:38. We understand that. We got Acts 2:38 down. If I were to ask you where the account of the Ethiopian eunuch is, could you tell me? If I could ask you where the account of Philippian jailer is, could you tell me? If I could ask you where the account of Simon the sorcerer is, or the Samaritans that believed and were baptized, could you tell me? Could you tell me where the Bible tells us that we have to be baptized into Christ? We looked at that last night. Can you tell me these things? Because what needs to happen, and that's what I've got down here in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. Same question, the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer, of course, you know the account that the jail doors were shaking open, the place was shaking, and he was about to kill himself. And Paul says, stop, don't do that. We're all here. And then he said something that was so important. He asked the same question the people on the day of Pentecost asked in Acts chapter 2. He said, what must I do to be saved? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you something. If you've been a member of the church for any time at all, and you can't go to the book, you should be able, if somebody else has a Bible lying there and you don't have yours, and you're talking, and you should be able to say, do you have a Bible around? And they say, well, yeah, I've got one out in the car. Go get it. You ever done that? Be somewhere where you're talking to somebody and you don't have a Bible with you? You say, well, get me your Bible. And you say, let's look at this in your Bible. Oh, that has a lot of weight to it. Let me tell you something. When you look at something with somebody in their Bible, they may not even read their Bible. But that's the Bible their mom gave them, their parents gave them, or their brother gave them or something. And the Bible means something to them. And you take that Bible and you start showing them in that Bible what to do to be saved. Now we have something going on, right? Now we have something happening. And you have to be able to take care of that then. You can't say, just a minute, let me call Brandon real quick. And I'll get on there with him and then put you on speakerphone. You've had that happen. Some of you may have had that happen. Others. Everybody in this congregation who's a member of this church for any time should be able with Scripture to give somebody the plan of salvation. Let me tell you what that does. We're going to go, let's look at this one real quick. Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 39. Turn there. Let's look at this real quick. Sometimes it's hard to understand just exactly how much we should know, what we should be doing. In Acts 8, verses 29 through 39, we have, of course, the account, as I mentioned, of the Ethiopian eunuch. Beginning about verse 39, it says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. The eunuch apparently had been to Jerusalem for the three feasts, as far as we can tell. From my understanding, likely a proselyte Gentile, somebody who had been circumcised to become under the Jewish religion. It says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Who had the Bible? Who was the one with the Bible? The eunuch was. The eunuch had the Bible. See, he had the text. And he asked him, he said, do you understand what you read? Well, that's our Isaiah 53. If you make notes in your Bible, that's Isaiah 53. And he was reading about Jesus and how he would suffer for us, see. And as he looked at this, he said, what exactly are you reading that? Where is that? Oh, I see. Watch this. He said in verse 31, he said, he asked him what he's reading, how can I, unless someone guides me, how can I understand what I'm reading? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip, I think he really believed, was somebody that could probably help him. Folks, I'm telling you, unless you convey the idea that you can help somebody with the book, unless you're able to convey the idea to somebody that you can help them find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to put him on in baptism, they're likely not going to ask you. And watch what happens. Verse 32, the place of Scripture which he read was this. We have Isaiah 53 there, basically. Go to verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this Scripture, preached to him Jesus. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me or what's stopping me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water and he baptized him. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. When somebody wants to know what to do to be saved, you need to know how to tell that person what to do to be saved. Tonight we're looking at Christian growth. Part of your Christian growth is what will also grow this congregation. You guys are doing great, by the way. I noticed all these babies. We've got some big babies out here, haven't we? You got a lot of young people. You got older people, 40 and over. That's 40 and over. Hey, I know, look, I've got to be here two more days. And you have a good group here. What I'm hoping to do is to encourage you to continue the good work you have going right now. Amen? I want to encourage you to continue this good work. Brandon, you can just go like this. I don't. This fellow here is doing a good job. So I'm going to tell you something. Would it make your job easier if every member in here knew the Bible well enough to go out and feel comfortable telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them what to do to be saved, knowing that they could open the book, their Bible, open it. You know, it's hard when you don't have your own Bible. Have you ever done that? I've watched people struggle. I say, turn to something, and they say, well, and you tell them to turn to the book of Ephesians or something. They're over in Exodus somewhere. And they go, oh, this isn't my Bible. I'm not used to this. No, you're just not used to the Bible. But be ready. Sometimes, folks, the door opens up, and you need to step through it. You need to be able to step right through that door, just like he did with the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, what are you reading? Well, I really don't understand. I don't know. Let me help you with that. Friends, it's a difference in a congregation just taking off by leaps and bounds. And sometimes struggle has to do with Bible knowledge. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Interesting text. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look there with me. I have always liked, and I said, yeah, I need to be able to be the one that finds out where it is myself. Put down the wrong one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I didn't think it looked, see? I haven't found the right one. It's a difference in one number. Made a big difference. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You therefore, my son, I might have to quit having my wife write my sermons for me. She messed up. You messed that one up. You therefore, my son, Paul speaking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women, right? Who will be able to teach others also. Before you can teach others to teach others, you have to know the book yourself. I notice you're asking for class teachers. I've seen congregations struggle for this. I have. You struggle to find class teachers. And maybe it doesn't fit into their lifestyle. Maybe it doesn't fit into their time element. Maybe they don't feel adequate to teach a Bible class. I'm going to tell you something. You want to teach a Bible class that will keep you on your toes? Teach a teen class. Teach a teenage class. You want to get one that will keep you on your toes more than that? Go down the next grade. We have a suggestion box out back. And I get some of the most interesting questions. My granddaddy drinks beer. Is that okay? Who is God? Where did God come from? Sounds easy enough to answer to us, right? Answer it to an 8-year-old. Make them understand it. Oh, we can go in for adults. We go into the scientific part. Well, you know, cause and such so, and first, second law of thermodynamics, and all that. Not an 8-year-old. I want to encourage you something. Brother Marshall Keeble. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. Brother Marshall Keeble had a saying. I believed it with all my heart, and I try and preach from that perspective. He said, if you'll put it down where the calves can get it, the cows can get it too. Christianity is a simple thing. The scriptures are simple for the most part. Oh, there's some difficulty, even Peter, right? Our text said there's some things that are hard to understand, but let me tell you something. The things you have to do to get somebody saved, those are not hard to understand. We've talked about a lot this week, haven't we already? We've talked about evangelism. Getting out and telling somebody about Jesus. Now, y'all promised. It's almost every hand go up that you're going to tell somebody this week. You're going to invite somebody who wasn't a Christian. And somebody who's not saved, that you're going to invite them to come and be with us. I hope you're going to stick to that. You need to stick to that. Well, I invited 4 people. Not one of them came. Well, that's all right. There's 7 billion on earth. Keep inviting. Somebody will come. Approximately 40, 50,000 in this area. Somebody will come. It'll happen. And invite them. That's right, but confidence has a lot to do with it. We talked about the one church, haven't we? The one church. It concerns me when members of the church don't have the confidence to say there's just one church. That unless you're a member of the Church of Christ, you cannot go to heaven. All people lose their minds on that. I'm not coming back. That preacher said that. Well, at least hear me out. We're going to see that in just a moment. In that situation, let's look at it. Did I do something wrong?
No. Where am I going?
There I am.
Hang on. All right, there.
We're going to see something here in a minute, and we're going to talk about those things. Now, we've talked about a lot of things, actually. We talked about the one church. We talked about salvation. We talked about morality, moral issues. Definitely not all of them, but some of them. I want to ask you a question. You know, scriptures, sometimes there's some things that are hard to understand. It's hard for us to understand giving ourselves over to Bible study. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says to examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I wouldn't do it to you on this one. If I were to ask for a show of hands, for the people in here who average at least 1 hour, don't hold up your hands, that you average at least 1 hour a day Bible study, how many hands would go up? Well, I can be honest with you. I've asked the same question where I preach. And they've heard a lot of lessons on it, and they continue to hear lessons on it. And it's getting better. But friends, most of the members of the church, I don't know how you are here. Most of y'all could not, if it's per any place I've been, most of y'all couldn't raise your hand and say, I study at least an hour a day on the average. Most members, if you have, do you have class books here that you use? You just study right out of the Bible, or do you have class books? Nothing. Most people will study for their class book, maybe. I'm going to tell you what, there's no worse feeling than to see somebody's class book in the pew. It's there every week. They stuff it down in the songbook where they sit all the time, the songbook rack, or leave it lying in the pew. Parents who have small children, please do me and your children a favor. When they bring in stuff from class, take it home, and if you have to pin it over a whole wall, put it on the refrigerator, put it on the stove, put it on the wall. Hang those pictures up in your house. Brag on the child when the child comes out with a picture. Get excited about it. And show them you're excited about it by taking it home and putting it on the wall. Don't leave it in the pew. Happens. Happens a lot. Most people study to get their Bible lessons. Help me out on this. The book that you're in right now in the adult class. You in one of the adult class? You in a book? Class book? Studying right from the book?
Class book.
Class book. On the average, what I've seen, even with, if you're not real sure about some things, most class books, you can fill out the lesson in a half hour. If you know any Bible at all, you can fill it out less than that usually. But a half hour, for the most part. You get your Bible class lesson, and then you might get one for Wednesday. Now you put an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Do you realize most people are comfortable with that? Most people are comfortable with that. They are. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Can you give the plan of salvation with Scripture? Can you tell me about the one church with Scripture? Can you tell me why we don't have a piano with Scripture? Can you tell me why we take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day with Scripture? Can you tell me why we give every Lord's Day and only on the Lord's Day with Scripture? Can you tell me what the work of the church is with Scripture? Is this beginning to make sense? I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not beating you on. Look, let me tell you something. I want to see this congregation continue to do what you're doing, which is continuing to grow and getting young people and old people and every people. But the only way you're going to do that is for everybody to work at this, and the only way you're going to work at this is if you know what you're talking about. How many of you have ever gone to a new job and just felt 100% out of place? Raise your hand. Yeah. Why do you feel out of place? Because you don't know what you're doing. You've never done this before, maybe not here before. You have no idea what they expected. Knowledge. You know, of course, we own a restaurant. We own a barbecue restaurant. Been doing this for 20 years. Didn't have enough sense to ever get out of it. Doing this for 20 years, and what I find, and what I say often, is when you lose a worker, it's usually because, it's not the worker many times, it's bad training. They're not properly trained. And I'm going to tell you something, when people don't participate in evangelism in the area, it's many times because they're not properly trained. Well, who are you going to leave it up to? If you don't know your Bible like you should, you're going to blame it on this guy? You're going to blame it on the Bible class teachers? You're going to blame it on... Who are you going to blame it on? See, we've only got us. Let's continue. Average cell phone time. Asked my teenage class the other day. What's the average time y'all spend on your cell phones? See, I don't know anything about these phones, and anybody that's been around me this week has noticed this. I mess them up all the time. My wife hands them to me. She'll say, here, someone wants to talk to you, and I'll hand it back and say, they're not there now. I don't know where they went. They just left. And the kids can pull, you can pull up on your phones how long you've spent today talking on it. Did you? I'm being on Facebook and stuff and all the other things. And it was an average of 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day. That's 28 hours a week. And it's hard for some of them to get their Bible class lesson and have it done for class. Our congregation's doing great, but it's like every other congregation. There's one problem. The will to study. And it will hamper the effect that you have. So here's something, some suggestions. Do you happen to listen to a Bible app on your way to and from work? I want you to think about that. Those who have to drive any distance at all, if you listen to your Bible app, maybe you have the kind of job where you can have a radio on or that you can play something. Maybe you can turn it on then and listen to it. It is amazing how much of the Bible you can go through in just an hour's time while you're working on a car, while you're cleaning house. Turn the TV off, turn the Bible app on. It's amazing how much time we get. What about break time at work? If you have a break at work and maybe a lunch break, something like that, and you go ahead and eat and you have nothing else to do, I'm going to tell you what people do if they eat at all much, and you've seen it and I've seen it. Break time means one thing. Right there. Looking through that phone. It has been a detriment to the Lord's church. Have you picked up a rack card? You know what a rack card is? And these cards that tell you they have a 30-day, you can read the New Testament through, or how to read the Bible through in a year, these kind of things. Have you ever gotten a hold of one of those? I saw you have Bible tracks back there, don't you? Please help me out on this. Please raise your hand. Please do this. Raise your hands if you have read one of those Bible tracts in the last month. Raise your hand. Look around you. Look around, folks. Look around you. Now, I'm not. This is common in the Lord's church. This is common. How many of you read all of them and just waiting for new ones? Well, that's not the reason. So I'm trying. Am I making sense here? I'm here for one purpose this week. This is a good-looking congregation y'all got here. It looks like good things are happening. But I'm telling you, there's some things you can do here. And I know you continue to say it, and others continue to say it. There's some things you can do here to fill this thing up in the next year. 1 year. And it's just simple evangelism, knowing and believing you're a member of the one and only church, living a good and clean moral life, and studying the text. Amen. Last of all, do you attend all the Bible classes? And do you get your classwork when you come? Some people attend Bible classes and they don't have to work. And have you ever had that feeling? Even if you're somebody that does it most times, something happens. And I don't know if you've got a class teacher that says, such and so, what did you get on that? I've asked the kids before, I say, how you feel in school when you know you didn't get your homework and you just hope that the teacher does not call on you? It happens in Bible class too, did you know that? You hope I'll read, but please don't call me because I didn't get it. Folks, I want to encourage you something. Bible class is here for a reason. Study. It's so we can learn and grow together. I want to encourage you as the Lord's church here to study, study, study. Go to the next one. Need to understand something that's hard to understand is that if you don't know the Word of God, you'll object to hard teachings. We've talked about some hard things this week. Did you know that? Now, really, they're not really hard things. Let me change that word. We talked about, some Bible things this week. How's that sound? We talked about some Bible things this week. We talked about the one church. Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Colossians 1, 18, he's the head of the body of the church. Ephesians 1, 22, 23, he's the head of the church, which is the body. Ephesians 4, 4, there's just one body. Since the body and the church are the same, it says 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we're all baptized into one body, which means you're baptized into the church. You can't get into the church without being baptized. These are simple scriptures. These are scriptures we need to know. Verse 27 talks about being members of the body of Christ, which means what? If you're saved, you are a member of the church of Christ. If you are not a member of the church of Christ, you are not saved. Look at those scriptures. Hard to swallow for some people. It shouldn't be, though. What the book says. Very simple teaching. It's Bible teaching. Next one. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was telling the ladies tonight. I like to have that, the ladies. I'm telling them tonight, we're talking a little bit about who's what and what's who. I was raised without Jesus, basically until I was 17 years old. Dad had a bar in the house. I used to tap beer for all his workers that came over. He finally just ended up drinking something. He just bought him a bar. I went down there and played pool on Sundays while he checked the whiskey bottle stuff to make sure that the bartender wasn't watering him down and costing him money, and Mama went and cleaned up the bathrooms and things like that. That's the way I was brought up. My dad was known in the area as being one of the most high-functioning drinkers you ever met. He owned an unbelievable business. He'd get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and work till 11 o'clock at night. Bad to the bone. But a drunk. It's not called. Dad came back to the Lord, believe it or not. He left the Lord at 20 years old. He came back to the Lord when he was 79 years old. He ended up being the treasurer at the little congregation where I'm now preaching. What about that? It can happen. Maybe somebody in here in that situation. He'll come back tonight. But I want you to notice something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There are those who say, I just drink a couple of beers at night to just kind of chill out and make me feel a little better. Kind of just ease up the night. I want you to notice in let's look at verse 6 beginning in 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be. Interesting word. Bible doesn't teach anywhere that you can't drink. It just says don't get drunk. Open your Bibles and work with me here if you've ever said that or heard that. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Word nepo. Sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. This is called an accepted verb, which means very little except to say this is talking about a progression. Those who begin getting drunk during the day is the idea, are drunk by night. Well, how do you begin getting drunk? Watch this. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and as a helmet of hope. as a helmet, the hope of salvation, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, what the books say, that's what the book says. I didn't write that. God wrote that through inspiration. Holy Spirit wrote that. Bible ever say anywhere that you can't just have a drink? Unless I'm badly mistaken. This is one of those things that was mentioned up first. If you have a question about this, we'll sit down and talk. I'm probably going to ask you from a common sense standpoint, tell me one good thing that comes from drinking alcohol. Just one. I grew up with it most of my life. And I'm telling you, there's not one single solitary thing that comes good from comes from drinking. Not one. Can you show somebody now who says that? Can you show them? You shouldn't have put two of these up here. Can you show somebody now? Raise your hands if you can show somebody now from the Bible why we can't drink even one drink. Raise your hand. Come on, you got it right there, man. 1 Thessalonians 5, you got it. Go home and read it again. Memorize it. Look at it. You're going to hear this said time. My dad said, well, Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and not often infirmities. Yeah, nobody ever told me at that time the word wine was generic and it can mean grape juice like it can for men. He wasn't telling Timothy to become a drunk. He was telling him to take some grape juice for his stomach problems. Didn't tell somebody to take alcohol for a stomach situation. The next ones we're not even going to spend any time on. We already talked about them. People say there's nothing wrong with dancing. They're chaperones or this or that. We talked about that. There's everything wrong with dancing. Today's dance, there's everything wrong with it. The movements, the dress, the slow dancing, everything. Everything about the dance is unchristian. Christians have no business participating in it. We talked about that last night. I'm not going to play, but there's some scriptures on it. I'll give you more if you need them. God doesn't say how short is too short. We talked about modest apparel. Folks, I encourage you to go home, get your strong some cords down, look up the word thigh, look up the word naked. You will come up with the same thing I did and everybody else who studies it did. God calls it nakedness down to the knee. It's that simple. Cover it up. The word is bashful. As we notice, women are told to be bashful. What I see women wearing many times doesn't tell me they're bashful. It doesn't say they're a bad person. As I said last night, they may be wearing those things just because it's cute or it's in style or because they don't want to be laughed at. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. You worry about what God thinks. Where does God say I have to come every time? Turn the Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I'm going to say there's probably, Brandon, I know you've never used this verse. Ever read the sermon? That's what it's like. You can preach a whole sermon on the love of God, the love of Jesus, the grace of God, and the blood of Christ, and make one statement about it. And I want to encourage those who haven't been coming faithfully to turn yourself around and start coming faithfully. The Bible says, to preach another sermon on forsaking the assembly. That's all he preaches on. I want you to read verses 10, chapter 10, verse 23 and 24 with me. See? We know 25, don't we? Why are you here tonight? Watch this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Why are you here tonight? There it is. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one. How many of you came tonight just so you don't go to hell? How many of you came tonight because if you don't come or you're forsaking the assembly, send me to hell. That's what it says on down through verses 26 and 27. And so I'm here. How many of you came because you had to come? I've mentioned this and I'm serious about this. How many of you came because you wouldn't be anywhere else tonight? Amen. How many of you understand 100% what Jesus has done for you? We say we do. Do you understand what he did? 2,000 years ago, somebody who didn't know one of us personally, he does, but we didn't know him, hung upon a cross, was beaten. You know the way they beat him, basically they flayed him open. Split open. Jesus split open. Jesus had almost bled out by the time he got to the cross. They spat upon him. They smote him with his head. Do you understand something about the cross, by the way? The cross was only about this tall. It's a little bit different from the pictures you see, right, where Jesus was hanging 40 feet in the air. The other two guys are down here. Crosses were about like this. If you don't read back through the text, they could touch him. They could hit him. He was close enough, they could stab him with their spear. They spat upon our Lord. That's almost make you want to cry. What they did to Jesus, just because he loved us, they took him and they hung him on a cross. Shoved a crown of thorns down upon his head. Made him carry a reed around and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Put him on a cross. Drove spikes through his hands and feet. And we have people who may be here tonight simply because you feel like you have to be here. You're not maybe enjoying these lessons, but you want to be a part a little bit, and you don't want this. But friends, I want to encourage you something. Remember why you're here, amen? You're here because somebody who died in our place 2,000 years ago loved you and me enough to give his life for us. To hang upon a cross, and I've heard this said often, be taking the Lord's Supper, and it said that he was willing to die for a bunch of people who did not care about him. I know you care. You wouldn't be here tonight. I want to encourage you something. I want you to be excited about coming here. When you walk through those doors, this should be the best time of your life. You're here to lift one another up, to admonish one another. That's why we're here. Then it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. I just want to encourage you, don't forget why you're here. You're here because Jesus Christ loves you, because the grace of God he wants to pour out upon you, and Jesus' blood was shed so that you could go to heaven when you leave this place. Amen. That's why you're here. That's why we're here tonight. All these things I preached, oh yeah, these are things that are important, but I want you to, really quick, and we're almost done. I want you to understand something. However faithful you are, it's probably going to be how faithful your children and grandchildren are. There's a good chance of it. Did you realize that? Your children will be as faithful as you are. Your grandchildren will be as faithful as you are. Pray of a child the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. Father, do not provoke your children to wrath and bring them up in the nurture and admonition. But we know these. How many times do you start looking at your watch when you see that it's 5 to 8? How many of you wondered how much longer is he going to preach? How many of you will talk about it when you get home if you didn't like the sermon? Whether it's Brandon's or mine or somebody else's. How many of you act almost like you're forced to come on Wednesday night because you've had to work all day and you're tired? You know who hears that? The same little ears that hear everything you say. Whether your parents or grandparents. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want your children to love Jesus and your grandparents, talk about Jesus all the time. Talk about how much you love Jesus. Talk about how much you love this congregation. Talk about how much you love the preaching of the word. Don't say, well, that the singing, I'll tell you what, that singing was terrible today, wasn't it? Don't go home and say stuff like that. Because if we're here praising God, God doesn't care what you sound like. He just cares that you love him, what you do. Is any happy, let him sing songs, right? Your children, be sure. Joshua chapter 4, I'm not going to go into the text. Read it. Go home and read it. Had them set up rocks from the middle of the Jordan River on the side, and he said he did that because then when the children say, what are these rocks for? And you say, oh, child. That's from when God delivered us, when we crossed the Jordan. That's from the time when God led us across a river that we shouldn't have been able to cross. And he brought us to the promised land and gave us this land that flowed with milk and honey. You see? That's what this is about. That's what all of this is about. It's about Jesus. That's why you're here. That's why this is the best time of your lives. When you come here and you're together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Will some of you fellas please at least say amen. Say amen. Thank you, somebody. Anybody. It's all about Jesus. It's not about having to struggle to get up work from work. It's not about having to get the kids ready and one of them messes their drawers, a new one, about time to get ready or pukes on themselves. No, you've never had that happen. My wife didn't go to worship one place. I went to preach for a solid month and a half almost. Every kid had measles. Chicken pox. Remember, didn't even really know who she was. It's not about all that. It's not about the struggles in life. When you walk through those doors, that's about being in the presence of the King. It's about being in the presence of God, and He's listening to you, and He's hearing your worship, and He loves your praise. That's what this is all about. Last of all, friends, I want to encourage you. Don't get discouraged when somebody knocks you for being a Christian. You just keep pouring it on. You just keep showing them what they need to be saved. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them about the one church. You show them in your life that you are a morally strong person, that you're a Christian, that you are different from what they are. You tell them the plan of salvation. You go home, please. Memorize that. I want to encourage you something. I would love to come back in tomorrow night and see that track track empty. Just take one home and read it. Give your life to Jesus. After all, folks, He gave His for you, didn't He? Go home and study, say there's no better thing for your children to see than to come through the room and see mom and daddy, either one, with the Bible in their laps, studying the scriptures, and knowing that you're doing that. And then when you talk to them about Jesus, then you don't say, well, we got to go to church now. Hurry up, get up. Time to go. It's about, hurry up. Just get, big sigh. It's time to go to worship. Let's go talk about Jesus. You ready to go to Bible class? Can you see the difference? Can you feel the difference? This is all about Jesus, friend. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about commandment keeping. It's about God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. There's somebody here tonight who needs to be saved. Won't you do that tonight? If you're not saved, what have you been? Why are you waiting? Do you realize if you left and go home tonight and something happened, if you have a heart attack, you have a car wreck, oh, they say, yeah, that, let me tell you something, it can happen. That's why the young lady last night said, you want to wait till you get home? Said, no, I could die. I don't want to die lost. Friends, I don't want you to die lost. You have every ability to leave here saved tonight. If you leave lost, it's your choice. Believe the word of God with all of your heart. Decide right now to change your life. Repent of your sins. Decide to follow God. Be willing to stand before this group and confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let us baptize you for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to His church. You'll be a member of the body of Christ. If you're a member of the church, I want to encourage you something. If you're a member of the church and you have not been studied, you have sins among you personally nobody else knows about. Most of the people here, did you realize most of the people here don't know how much you do or don't study the Bible? Do you think about that? Something we're not accountable for. The only one holding us accountable besides God is who? Us. We're it. What does it say? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves. I want to encourage everybody tonight. The end of the sermon will be yours. I'm about done. Thank you for your patience. I want to encourage everybody tonight. Start right now planning to go home and put in at least a half hour a day in Bible study. I want to promise you something. If you will do that every day, it won't be long before you'll love the Word of God so much you'll be putting in an hour and a half, and 2 hours. and you'll look up at the clock and you'll not realize that you've been studying for 3 or 4 hours. Friends, I want to challenge everybody in here to do that. You know what that will do? That will cause this congregation to grow by leaps and bounds, because you will have the confidence to get out and tell people about Jesus Christ. If you're a member of the church and you have a public sin, we'll pray with you and for you. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. About Jesus, about forgiveness. If there's something we can do for you tonight, I hope you'll do it tonight. While we stand, while we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His time can make you what you are to be. His blood you free and follow at His call. Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with me. His power can make you what you are to be. Providential test. Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and